Welcome into the program. This is Follow the Money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mitch Moss along with Paulie Howard. Big show lined up today. A couple of real solid guests as always. Matt Eumanns in 45 minutes. Nigel Seeley in an hour. We will go over tonight's gigantic hockey card a couple of times. We'll look at the Super Bowl, some props that have popped already across the country, maybe the world as well. And hello this morning to those of you in Boston watching on NESN. In Chicago, on Marquee, and all across Canada, we can relate to you.
Peekaboo.
And what you're going through today, and what you put up with every single winter. We don't get this every single year in Las Vegas. It is a careful out there on the freeways today in Vegas, right?
Well, people have no idea how to drive out here.
They have no clue.
And rain, and now you have this.
Right.
Well, we have accumulation. It's coming down pretty good.
I would say so.
Yeah.
Like, and I was joking around on Twitter yesterday saying, okay, now we need a shovel, right? Honestly, we'll put up a picture here in a second. I don't even know if they sell like snow brushes or ice scrapers in Las Vegas. Because when we got dumped on in 2009, the city shut down, folks. I'm not joking. I mean,
well, tell that story. There was a basketball game that night.
Right. UNLV was playing.
It's like, it wasn't even an inch of snow. And people are like, is the game canceled?
Yes, they were calling and they were inundated. Right, the box office over at UNLV, they couldn't even keep up with the phone calls.
Yeah.
The game is going to be played tonight. And then you come out later on and certain parts of the city had like 8 inches. And it was the beauty of this was there are no like snow trucks, right? So it was a school day the next day all across Las Vegas. And it was 60 degrees outside and beautiful. And the sun was gone. But people freaked out so much. Look at this picture here. This is what I woke up to today.
Man.
Come outside. I knew it was going to be snowing overnight, but we don't get this every day out here. And it started snowing yesterday, I think, at around, 11 o'clock in the morning? And it was coming down pretty good in certain parts. So,
yep.
Wild.
Yep. It is. It's rare.
We moved from the Midwest.
That's right.
Right?
People all over you on Twitter. It's hilarious.
Well,
now you know how I feel. Cut it out.
Hey, look.
What's wrong with you?
That's one of the reasons why I moved.
Sure. There's no way to live.
Of course not.
Go outside. I went to University of Minnesota Duluth for 2 years.
Oh, think you got snow up there?
There are underground tunnels. It's so cold in the winter.
Yeah.
You don't have to go outside. So everyone's so pasty white and the women wear flannel shirts.
For 6 months out of the year, by the way.
Yes.
That's like October until April.
Then it's 65 in the summer because of the lake.
Yep. Right.
Give me a break. I tell you, though. Yeah. It's been fun. I'm in love with this hockey season, too. How about Vancouver? It was only one game last night. How about Vancouver? Vancouver is now 7-1 to the over for the game. How long till we see sevens? In every game but one, someone has scored 5 goals. One team has at least scored 5.
Wow.
I mean, this team is crazy.
And by the way,
the goal in the first 10 gets there.
The first period.
Right. They're 7-1 to the over on the season. They're putting up 6.5s. Already.
I said yesterday on the show, they're a fun team to watch.
They are. They are.
It's just up and down. It's a ping pong match the entire time.
Yeah. Good action. We got a ton of things to update coming up. Plus Hank Stram's Super Bowl formula, which started 46-2. The Tom Brady first quarters, you won't believe, of the 9 Super Bowls.
Right.
Props are already out at PointsBet. We got a lot to get to. It's going to be a great show.
And Paulie, I listened to a lot of radio and TV yesterday. I'm going to have to squash this because people were way off on the first meeting in the regular season. I'll explain that coming up next.
This is Brent Musburger, and here is your VSiN Action Update. Now, here are the latest lines from my guys in the desert.
Pittsburgh Penguins have won 4 consecutive games, all in comeback fashion. They're 4-2, second place to the East. They're plus 110 at Boston today. The Bruins have won 2 straight. They're laying $1.30, 5.5 over the total at the TD Garden. Dallas with a late start to the season due to COVID-19. 2-0 the start of the year, outscored their opponents 10-2. They were $2 home ice favorite against the Red Wings, plus 170, 5.5 under at American Airlines Center. Utah Jazz play for their 9th consecutive win. They're laying 11 at home against the Knicks. Rockets a 2.5-point home favorite against Washington. VSiN has all of the Super Bowl betting angles covered. The best place to start is with our big game betting hub at VSiN.com/Super Bowl. While you're there, get the free big game betting guide with trends, strategies, and data to make the most of your betting decisions. Go to VSiN.com/Super Bowl, VSiN.com/Super Bowl. With your action update, I'm Mike Sena.
Get the latest VSiN odds at VSIN.com. And remember, cashing tickets is what it's all about.
live from the OddsTrader.com studio here at Circa Resort and Casino. OddsTrader.com. Download the free OddsTrader app right now. Start winning with up to the second info that you need. OddsTrader.com. You can also compare sportsbook sign-up bonuses, get real-time bet tracking and live in-game odds and stats. So, on the Monday after Championship Sunday in the NFL, I spent most of my day watching and listening to various networks across the country. I spent a lot of time watching VSiN. I checked out Mike Palm's new show with Amal Shaw. I watched a lot of other stuff here on the network. I also flipped, and I was driving around, and I was checking out other national stuff to see what they were saying, recapping the title games, but also looking forward to the Super Bowl. And let me tell you, folks, I was just shaking my head yesterday. And in fact, I was getting mad at some point because the people who simply read the box score or the final result of the first time that they played were on national airwaves, and they sounded like complete clowns yesterday because they said no. And by the way, from a betting standpoint, remember, and I watched the whole game, and I had to go back and dissect the box score. The Chiefs were laying 3.5 against the Buccaneers, and it was a brutal beat, right? You were coasting to cashing that ticket if you had the Chiefs in that game against the Buccaneers. And people that sit here on, you know, yesterday and point out it was a really close game, it was tight, final score, Buccaneers were in the game. I'm just like almost driving off the road like, are you nuts? You are completely misleading your audience by saying something like that.
And this is what happens when you hire ex-players.
Oh, it was so bad.
Who are lazy and don't do the work. You know, I pay you mid six figures. Can you at least do some homework and a little information, research, right?
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. They destroyed them.
Killed
for much of the game. Yeah, absolutely.
So,
I mean, what Hill did in the first quarter, and then you have a breakdown coming up, which is beautiful. But, you know, it was all backdoor cover and shenanigans when the game was decided.
100% backdoor cover.
Yeah.
It was never close. It should have been, it could have been a 40-point game. Chiefs could have scored 40 points. So they had 543 yards of offense overall. Mahomes threw for 462. Hill had 13 for 269 and three scores. Good game for him. Hill had 57 yards on the opening drive, and eventually, how do you like this? KC started the game by settling for a field goal on fourth and goal at the one-yard line. Fourth and goal, one-yard line, opening drive. Bucker get out there. They did.
Yeah.
So the Bucks eventually, they did nothing whatsoever in the first quarter. Mahomes hit Hill for a 75-yard touchdown after the teams traded punts. It was a one-play drive, 10-0 Chiefs. Chiefs got the ball back after another punt. They went 90 yards in seven plays in 3 minutes and 50 seconds. It was Mahomes to Hill for 44 yards. Folks, at that point, it's 17-0. And when the first quarter ended, the Buccaneers had 41 yards and four punts. The Chiefs then got the ball back up 17-0. They had a first and goal at the Buccaneers' 8-yard line. 8-yard line first and goal. Shaq Barrett sacked Mahomes, and he created a fumble. They recovered and went down and scored. 7 plays, 86 yards, and make it 17-7. If they get a touchdown there and they don't settle for the field goal, we're talking about 28-0. I know it's what it could have, should have, but this is KC we're talking about here, which is very easily possible. And instead, it's 17-7. Buccaneers got the ball at the half. They went down, kicked the field goal, made it 20-10. Next drive, 7 plays, 75 yards for the Chiefs, touchdown. Chiefs had 4 different plays that went for at least 10 yards. Mahomes to Hill, third touchdown, 20-yard TD there. And Brady was picked off on the next two drives. KC screwed around. They punted twice, never picked up a first down. And then in the fourth quarter, the Buccaneers, when the Chiefs completely took the foot off the gas, they scored a couple of times. Folks, the game could have been like 42-14. It was an absolute massacre. And the Buccaneers happened to cover because it was a backdoor job. It was never close. Get that out of your heads.
I was talking to a guy who's a pro sports bettor, and he said he usually looks to get the dog right away. He says he can't do it here. Other thing, too, are you concerned about the first meeting that was so one-sided, at least for three quarters? Is that will you trust Tampa Bay to make the adjustments?
Okay, so here's what I'm concerned about. One of the talking points with the Bills going into the Chiefs game is very lucky to survive the Colts and fortunate. I mean, that's 10-3 against the Ravens. Could have been easily 10-6. They're 10-10, right? If they score and said it's a pick six the other way.
Yeah, and Tucker doink, too.
Right. They had not played well in the playoffs.
Yep.
Right? They were fortunate possibly to be here against the Chiefs. Can you not make the same case for the Buccaneers? what they did against the Saints, getting the four turnovers, and of course on Sunday against the Packers where they survived and they got bailed out by Green Bay over and over and over again.
Did they struggle because Heinicke was the unknown? I mean, that's still, I can't get that game out of my head. You can't slow down Heinicke and you're going to stop Mahomes and Hill and Kelsey? I mean, that's not supposed to happen.
I don't see them slowing down Mahomes.
They didn't slow down Rodgers. They got stops in the red zone, the bend but don't break. Okay, yeah. That's a whole different animal here. You're going against the best player in football, and then we know what happened with the Saints and Breeze turning the ball over. That's just one observation, yeah.
That's also...
But the other thing I can't get past, and I cannot believe this, is the slow starts. Every single Super Bowl by Brady. So now he doesn't have Belichick. First quarter scores for Tom Brady in the 9 Super Bowls. He has 3 combined points. He's the greatest quarterback of all time, yet in 9 Super Bowls, he has 3 total first quarter points. And that came against Philly when he set the record for passing yards.
Uh-huh.
Look at this. Here are the scores. The first Super Bowl that they played against the Rams, it was 3-0 St. Louis. Scoreless against Carolina. That was a vicious beat, but that thing was, I believe the first and the third quarters were scoreless. Wasn't it something funky like that?
Yeah.
And then the second was,
I think were 2 quarters scoreless?
I think whatever it was.
Yeah,
okay. 2 quarters were scoreless. Yeah. New England and Philly, scoreless. Giants, 9-0. That was the second meeting. That was the Manningham catch. The safety to start. The 2007 Super Bowl, 2007 undefeated team, 3-0 Giants. There's only 2 drives in the first game. Seattle, scoreless. Atlanta, scoreless. Philly, there you go, 9-3. And then the Rams, scoreless. How can this be? How?
It's especially, Paulie, when you look, Brady has now been involved in 6 of the highest scoring Super Bowl totals of all time. I get it. It's different football now compared to what it was 25 years ago. But that's still telling you something. And in those games, they come out slow, sluggish, feeling each other out. I mean, the Rams game was, how did that game end up 13-3? Belichick, awesome defensively?
Yeah.
I mean, the Rams were a high-flying machine that year.
Mm-hmm.
And they couldn't do anything.
And 3-3 in the fourth quarter, sure. I mean, that Seattle game, that exploded. And this is the second highest Super Bowl total ever, too.
Right.
The Philly game was just nuts from the start. But it just doesn't make sense. How the greatest coach and the greatest quarterback ever have combined for 3 first quarter points in 9 Super Bowls when you have all this time to prepare and you're supposed to be the greatest coach. You know what the other team's doing.
Uh-huh.
Right? I mean, certainly McDaniels knows what he's doing as well. Whoever Weiss, all those coordinators that they've had. You know, we'll tie it into squares here in a second, too, about you can use this to your advantage here at Circa and everyone who does squares all across the country. But here's my point. If this happens again, we've talked about it for 2 weeks. You're going to have to score mid-30s to beat Mahomes. Look at the track record.
Yeah, that's the thing.
He's never lost a game by more than 1 score. I can't believe that either. More Super Bowls than defeats by more than 1 score.
Yeah.
You have to score mid-30s to beat him. You can't kick field goals.
Well, that's the thing.
And if you're going to get off to a slow start, they're going to take you out in a body bag.
Yeah. Like, the Bills were settling for field goals last week against this team. The Saints had to settle for field goals against the Buccaneers a couple of weeks ago.
Right.
And we saw what the Packers did.
Yeah.
14-7 at the goal line, 3 shots to Adams, no touchdown,
right?
Let's kick the field goal.
And then he kicks,
kicks
what LaFleur did. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not going to work. Ask McDermott. That was stupid. Silly. That's very important, too. I mean, Arians has to have all the right moves. You can't kick field goals.
You need to be going for it, by the way, on 4th and short, like every time.
You got to be perfect as a coach. I don't know what McDermott was doing going for 2 there either. That was bizarre.
I would be concerned. You can run on the Chiefs, right? Are they going to come out with the same game plan they've had over the last 2 weeks, where it's let's get Fournette going and then maybe sprinkle in a little bit of Ronald Jones? And first down, first and 10, run play up the middle. 2nd and 8, let's run it one more time. I mean, that's another thing. They started 6 of 7 on 3rd downs against Green Bay because the first 2 downs on every drive was terrible.
Yeah, but if they get pressure on Josh Allen, who can move, what's going to happen to the statue?
Yeah.
Right? Well, I mean, it's going to be bam, ball. What's the game plan? Bam, ball's going to be
them.
It's a completely different Kansas City defense in the playoffs, too. And then the pressure's been there.
Well, if they can get pressure on the front four. I mean, if the Packers could have gotten pressure on the front four, I mean, who knows what happens in that game. But I'm also, on the flip side, I am the one concerning part that I'd have with the Chiefs is the offensive line injuries.
Yeah.
And that could be a thing where, you know, Bieniemy and Reed are going to recognize this, obviously, because Barrett was so good last week. So was JPP. And maybe it's just, you know, that whole thing we talked about yesterday and in previous weeks. Maybe the Chiefs just come out and say, we're not going to run the football. Yep. We have Patrick Mahomes. We're going to go shotgun, and we're going to get the ball out of his hands in 1.3 seconds on every single play.
Some props are up at points bet. Mahomes is 326.5 passing yards. Tom's 302.5. Mahomes to have more passing yards, minus 165. Will he throw for 250 yards, minus $7? Mahomes throws for 350 yards, and the Chiefs win, plus 250. Godwin and Evans both score, plus 310. Kelce to have more yards than Godwin, minus 270. Will there be a scoreless quarter, plus 550. Safety, plus 850. Overtime, 10-1. Defensive touchdown, 3-1. That'll come down. You'll get a cheap, better price on that. Well, actually, that's the best you're going to do if you want the yes. Kickoff or punt return, 14-1. Kansas City to score in every quarter, plus 110. Tampa, plus 155. What do you think of that?
I mean, this is a great opportunity, Paulie. You just ran down what it's like in the first quarter in Patriots for Tom Brady's career. Because we have Mahomes going against this Buccaneers team and Brady, these numbers are going to be so inflated at the over, and the public will bet all of them. You're going to be able to find some pretty juicy returns on stuff, hoping for like a 20-17 game.
Yep. Scoreless quarter plus 550. Five of the nine Brady Super Bowls, he's played a scoreless first quarter. And again, he's only scored 3 points in nine of them. Fournette, 51.5 rushing yards. Brady throws for 325, and they win plus 325. Those are some props that are already up.
Yep. Do we have the Circa Squares tweet? I know Circa tweeted this out yesterday. Heads up this week. Here's the schedule for the betting menu. They were going to do Circa Squares on Wednesday. Super Bowl MVP on Thursday, first touchdown on Friday, two-sided props Saturday, and index props on Sunday. But I did see last night they actually tweeted out the squares are available. You can get down on them. And it's
so you said this before the show. How about 6-3 at the end of the first quarter?
It's like 65-1.
Yeah. Okay. I'm on board.
Look at this.
Beautiful.
Great
job.
And here's the tweet. Pick your own squares in each quarter. Each square has its own odds. Bet as many squares as you like. Minimum $1 bet. And that's what it looks like. On the left-hand side going up, last digit of the Buccaneers score at the end of the first quarter. Top row going across, last digit of the Chiefs score at the end of the first quarter. And for example, if you wanted 7-0 Chiefs, it would be plus 475. And the odds change, obviously, all across the board. Excellent idea. Here at Circus Sports. That's great. And I think that they're going to just... people are going to be betting this like crazy with the squares. A 4-0 first quarter. Well, it could be like 14-10, 14-0 for the Buccaneers, 25-1.
Okay, I thought you were going to 4-0. Okay.
That's right. How about 14-10 Chiefs or 14-0 Chiefs, 22-1?
We used to do this because there's nothing else to do in Minnesota during the game, but we used to do this, gather around, the whole family would do it with the squares. Everyone would get a square.
Hey, that'd be creative.
Yeah, my Uncle Roger won three of them one time. I wanted to knock him out. I mean, it bothered me as a kid.
Talk to him to this day? Or?
No, it's been a while.
Okay.
These are very popular, and I'm glad that they do this. They've been doing this for a couple of years now. This is excellent.
Yep.
But a good call, too. 6-3. Either you get a couple field goals, you got the yips with Butker. I mean, how many is he going to miss here?
That could happen.
He's missed 33-yard field goals. He's missing extra points, everything.
Yeah.
You could cash right away. You get the doink right off the bat, and a 6-3 comes.
Sure. I will. I'll look at all these squares a little bit later on after the show today, but that one jumped out to me. Like, you could easily get like a 6-3, 65-1. So a person in a sportsbook here in Las Vegas said that doink's going to be tough to do here in the state. He said, because it's so the fine print.
No.
He said, because what if it grazes the upright?
They've done it before.
No, that's the concern.
No. Don't play doink. Just say upright. Just if it hits the upright. They've done it before. Caesars did it years ago, and they got carried out the first year they did it.
Yeah. But that would be...
And then was the year Gostkowski claimed the extra point against Atlanta.
Do you see the point, though? Like, on the upright here, what if it grazes it, then goes inside? If it just barely nicks it and goes inside, well, was that a doink? It still made the extra...
I would say,
if a field goal or an extra point touches the upright, touches it. So, because, I mean, have fun defining doink, right? Does doink off mean it has to be a miss? I don't know, but I mean...
Was it in the garbage? Was it in the garbage or no?
You're going to be able to find them elsewhere. I don't know if you're going to be I'm just warning people here. I don't know if Nevada is going to be able to do some of these props.
Don't bring me down. Don't bring me down. I don't agree with that at all. To me, it's easy. Does it hit? Does it hit the upright?
Use the keyword. Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah.
All right, follow the money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Again, we'll run down the NHL card throughout the show today. We'll get into Hank Stram's betting formula or overall Super Bowl prediction formula. Strong over the years, and Paulie's going to run down win some, lose some coming up next.
A huge hockey card with all the big numbers on first period, second period, third period. She's a good-looking girl. Goal in the first 10 and also totals as well. Good email from Andrew. Don't forget the opening kickoff not to be a touchbacks on a 17-2 run. That's usually plus money.
17-2?
That's what Andrew says. But that's I know it's been a pretty good run to the last couple of years. At least that's off the top of my head. Time for win-lose.
Rough night?
Can't call it a bad beat. Definitely lose some.
Good night? How does it make you feel?
I absolutely hate them. I absolutely hate them.
Follow the Money Looks Back so we can learn for today.
Everything's an adventure.
In Win Some, Lose Some. Let the education commence.
A lot going on in Las Vegas, and we'll be dancing later today. Loyola Marymount from 7 up to 10. Bad for the books. Routed Portland. Southern Illinois, Indiana State under, 140 down to 135. Oklahoma State from 2 up to 7, 1 by 20. Texas Tech, plus 2, went off the favorite, fell 1. Pistons, 6.5 down to 4.5, routed the Sixers. What was that? Magic, plus 1, went off the favorite, beat the Hornets. Blazers, Thunder over, 222 up to 227, 125 to 122.
Wow.
Win some. Vancouver, 7-1 to the over, and they beat Ottawa, 7-1. Win some. Look at this. This was last week at our former home, the South Point. And Mitch, we played on that machine. That was used to be, this is, the guy's playing the only game in town, Ultimate X. He's dealt the full house. That means the next hand is multipliers by 12. He gets dealt aces and a kicker on 50 cents. That's $36,000. Oh, Christmas came early. That is sexy.
I mean, again, think about what had to happen here. In order to get that 12-time multiplier, he was dealt the full house, like you said.
Oh.
And on the very next hand, here you go. That's...
Look at that. Once in a lifetime.
Oh, easily.
Oh, 36 large.
On 50 cents.
Wonder what he left for a tip.
I've heard a lot of stuff going on, by the way, the last couple of weeks here in town.
Yeah. We'll get to it later.
Yeah.
Rigo is hanging out at Circa, like everyone was this past weekend. We were talking about three-card poker yesterday. Look what he hit. He got the straight flush, which is 200-1. And he also, you play the pair plus, and you also play the dealer's hand?
Yep.
Well, so he gets three of a kind there, too, because the dealer's got a couple of sevens, right? Or is it three? Or
no, it's two up top.
Two up top, and he's got a seven.
To match his seven.
Is that 20-1?
I believe that was 7-1.
Oh, 7-1.
But that's 7-1 on that to go along with the 200-1 on the pair plus.
Very good. But here's Pigou now. Mark Meltz. Look at this. This was the big Pigou progressive hit. Look at that. He didn't even have the Joker?
No.
Oh, my God.
And that's at the Orleans.
At the Orleans, $250,000. Look at all the chips. My God. Oh, Maron, if this was someone else's wedding. Look at that. All those chips. My God. He brings it home.
So they paid him out right there in $1,000 chips?
I don't know how that works.
Holy smokes.
I don't know why. I don't know how that works.
Yeah.
You have to ask someone who's in a $250,000 jackpot before. And then this was a great tweet. We got this from a viewer yesterday, and this was circulating on social media. Tom Brady is more likely to make the Super Bowl than Curry is to hit a three. Brady is now 53% to make the Super Bowl in his career. Curry, 43% from three. Lunacy. I mean, both of them are. But the fact that Brady's got a better shot to go to the Super Bowl. You know, you throw out the 2 years, one he was hurt and the other one he wasn't a starter.
It's a good bar discussion. Like, better prime, better career, Tom Brady, LeBron James. Like, the prime, I guess. For both guys to make it to 10 championships? I mean, come on.
You got time for 180 at Paulie Does Vegas on Instagram? Sneak in one dog video? Can we squeeze it in? There we go. Oh, yeah.
Blue? Oh, I thought it was blue for a second.
Different dog. Big fella. They're all dressed up. Look at that. Out. The dog snoring with the baby. There you go. And we're dancing. All the moves got there. We're dancing today. All the money. Yeah, all the moves got there.
All right.
There
you go. Here we go. Well, this is kind of a tango,
a puppy,
right?
Puppy and a rooster?
Yes, of course.
There's a new one. All right. There you go.
Nice job.
It's always an eclectic mix. There's the little guy.
Come on, young fella.
Yep.
Bam! All right.
Excellent. Good action. I'll tell you that. Good action. I don't know what the NHL is doing with this schedule, but okay. All you can eat today and Thursday. Here we come, first periods. Here we come.
So
Boston under, first period. Let's go.
One game last night, but 14 tonight. Yeah. Is it two tomorrow?
And then 15, like, I think
it was. Yeah, the next night, and then one or something like that on Friday.
What are they doing? And then a bunch Saturday, Sunday. I don't know.
It's bizarre. We will get into the NHL card from a betting perspective coming up next. Covered. The best place to start is with our big game betting hub at vsin.com/Super Bowl. We're going to be tracking all the key stats for both teams, big game betting trends, line moves, and player stats, so you can easily research your bets for the game and all the props. And while you're there, get the free big game betting guide with trends, strategies, and data to make the most of your betting decisions. Now is the time to prep for your best bets. Get started now with the free big game betting guide at vsin.com/Super Bowl.
Ian McDonald on Twitter doesn't make contact with. There you go. For the upright.
Yeah, and
I would agree with that.
He also
simple.
Do you see that? He tweeted us the box score or the of the Patriots Carolina game.
You go, missed that.
When they played. So scoreless first quarter.
Yeah.
Patriots 14-10 at halftime. Scoreless third quarter. And then Patriots scored 18 points in the fourth quarter. Carolina scored 19.
Oh my God.
That
game had everything.
It really did.
Yep. Phil also says, I asked someone at the Bellagio about the jackpot payouts and with the chips. They do it for the promotional pictures. It's just like, okay, here's what the guy won, and then, yeah.
I got you.
It's like, okay, how do you want it then?
Okay. So, Paul, give us your opinion. I know you're going to have one on this game tonight, so I'll set it up here first and foremost. In the NHL, the first game we'll discuss here is the Penguins and the Bruins. Penguins now going for a 5-game winning streak.
Yep.
They started 0-2. The over 5-1 on the season for Pittsburgh. Their two losses came against the Flyers, who just dropped two straight to the Bruins. And Boston outscored the Flyers 11-5 in that 2-game set. And the over cashed each time in the game. And the Bruins have won the past 8 home meetings in the series. The over has cashed in 5 of the games. And what do you like here tonight with the Bruins laying about $1.35?
I like the Bruins. They found something finally on offense. They've won 8 in a row against Pittsburgh. They just swept Philly and outscored them 11-5. I know Pittsburgh's hot. Pittsburgh's, we're throwing a lot of numbers out of here, but Pittsburgh's 5-1 to the over for the game. And amazing but true, even though they've had all these goals, they've been coming, though, in the third period. Boston is 5-0 to the under in the first period. But it'll be put to the test here today with the Pittsburgh, who doesn't play any defense. But I like the way Boston's playing. Marchand was great the other day. The offense has come alive after they could do nothing for the first, what was it, four games.
Mm-hmm.
And now they take out Philly in a body bag. So now Boston's finally got the offense going. And they've owned Pittsburgh here. They've owned them in this matchup, and I like them. I mean, Pittsburgh's not going to – they're going to score. Boston will score, and Boston plays defense. So really like what they did against the Flyers, and plus they're hot. The offense is – they found something. So I don't know, you know, I don't know about over 6, but I like Boston to win the game.
Circa opened up 5.5 over minus 120.
Past 8 home meetings, excuse me. Bruins won the past 8 home meetings against Pittsburgh.
Islanders playing the Capitals tonight. And here at Circa, Islanders opened up a favorite on the road, but $1.28, total of 5.5. Capitals without a bunch of guys.
Why is it so low?
Again tonight.
Well, again, you got to look who's playing goal. Now, Varlamov and dailyfaceoff.com, you guys can tweet in, because a lot of people are asking about the best site, best Twitter handle for goalies. It's, you know, too early, but I imagine it's got to be Varlamov after the KHL kid played the other night and they lost 2-0. They're just a different team with Varlamov in there. Number one, it's a confidence standpoint. Number two, he's a brick wall. He's only allowed 1 goal on the season. So with the Capitals, all these guys out, they own them. This is the Trotz game, okay? They own them. They've won 5 of the last 6. You might want to say revenge for what happened in the playoffs in the bubble, but the Islanders own them. And this is a bad matchup for Washington. And you know how important this is for Trotz, too. They win the cup, and they're like, sorry, get out. So I like the Islanders here, and I really like them if it's going to be Varlamov, and I think it's going to be. So until the Capitals got all these guys out. So, I mean, this seems cheap to me here.
So, yeah, here are the list of guys, by the way, for the record. Again, Ovechkin, Kuznetsov, Orlov, Samsonov, all out. And then they lost Tom Wilson. He had a lower body injury on Saturday. And again, this number is on the move. So I think if you want to bet the Isles here, you got to get it early this morning because it could continue to go up.
Islanders 4-1 to the over in the first period, 4-1 to the under in the third period. And the Capitals 5-1 to the over for the game. Do with that what you want.
Mm-hmm.
But that's, I think the Islanders are cheap. And I will see how the Flyers respond. How did the Flyers respond tonight? They're a nice road favorite against the Devils. And I imagine it'll be Wedgwood again. Blackwood on a COVID list. And the kid had the shutout against the Islanders the other day. And then, Philly, as I just mentioned, Philly got routed against Boston. So, but they have been a high-scoring team. Philly is 5-1 to the over on the season. And here you go, and there's only a 5.5 in this one. So I think they bounce back after, you know, they got humiliated at home against Buffalo, came out the next game and beat them and shut them out. They just got humiliated 2 games against Boston. I think they'll respond tonight, too. I think the Flyers will get the win.
You have anything on the Oilers and Jets? I'm asking.
Great game the other night.
Yeah, they played the other night. Jets had a 3-2 lead at like the 5-minute mark of the third period, and the Oilers scored at the 16:55 mark and again with 1 second left. And they were $1.40 favorite. I like the Jets in that game. And that was a loser at a decent plus return. I mean, it was looking good late. 3-2, like I said. And then they allowed the 2 late like that. In regulation, by the way. So for those of you who bet Edmonton in regulation, that's a nice one. File that one away.
Nothing on the side. Edmonton 6-1 to the under in the first period. And here they keep putting up 6.5s. I mean, this is, you know, they do the same thing with
that's
Toronto.
Right.
What's a Toronto? Where'd I? Yeah, there's so many damn games tonight.
That's a 6 tonight.
Oh, that is a
over
6.
Over 25. I mean,
there's been 6.5s in these Toronto games, and they're allowing like 2.5 goals a game.
Mm-hmm.
So some of these are just based on last year and hype. We got a good tweet on this. Guy said the best bet going is at Bet365. bet the McDavid prop shots over for the game.
Yeah,
shots.
Saw that.
He says he cashes every night. Okay, it's something to look at. All right, I believe you.
He said the number is generally around, what, 3.5?
That's what he tweeted, yeah.
Okay.
Look at that. Okay. Yep. But and then you also have the Blues and the Knights.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how good are the Knights? Yeah, they haven't played any. I know he can only play who's on the schedule, but they just got done with 4 against Arizona. They're 5-1. Fleury's been great. And now here they are, they take on the Blues, and they've had the Blues number 2. So I imagine it'll be Leonard. It will be Leonard? Yeah, probably Leonard for the Knights tonight.
I think it's going to be, yeah.
But they're only $1.36, and that seems cheap. That seems too much respect for St. Louis here. But then again, you look, and Vegas has just gone through the season knowing if they just take the ice. They did a great job after they lost to Arizona. They only allowed like 16 shots on goal the following, getting the shutout. And then Carlson scored late. So I think the Knights are cheap. And again, they're on a great run. Goal in the first 10. We're at home. Goal in the first 10 has been good for the Knights.
Yeah. Well, this is another game where I think the number is going to go up on the Golden Knights. I mean, Captain Obvious checking in here, but that generally happens with a home game, although fans still can't go to them. Matt Youmans on the program next. We'll get his Super Bowl betting plan. How is he approaching the big game? We'll ask him coming up next.
The leader in daily fantasy sports. Download the app and use promo code VSiN when you sign up to compete for cash prizes each week. Sign up now and new customers get a deposit bonus of up to $500. Code VSiN when you sign up. Available to play in Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, New Hampshire, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, and West Virginia only. Must be 21 years or older. 18 plus in New Hampshire. DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details.
Matt Youmans joins the program now. You can catch him every single day. My guys in the desert right here on VSiN 5 Eastern 2 Pacific. Matt, good morning. Thanks for the time as always. Have you made any Super Bowl bets yet?
I have not. You know, this is one of those games where I think it's difficult to have a strong opinion at this point. I like the Chiefs in the game. I was on the Bucks against the Saints. I was on the Packers against the Bucks, and I got to tell you, man, you have to give the Bucks a certain amount of respect because they won 3 straight times on the road in the playoffs to get to this point. But, you know, you just go back to the Saints game, and you feel like New Orleans gave that game away. 4-0 turnover margin. The Packers debacle still ticks me off. Every time I think about it, I just get irritated. The Packers could not have coached, played really a worse game than they did. You kind of feel like the Saints gave it away, the Packers gave it away, and the Chiefs are not going to give it away. You wouldn't think so. The one thing that bothers me is the Chiefs are going to be without both starting offensive tackles, and that could be an issue. I was talking with John Murray at the Westgate Superbook about this the other night. I want to bet the Chiefs here, but it's one of those things where I think I understand the Bucks bettors taking the +3.5. You're kind of betting the number more than anything. What I'm going to do, and what John Murray said he was probably going to do as well, bet the Chiefs when this money line price drops.
Yep.
He thinks it's going to drop as low as -150, and that's probably the way I'm going to play it. I just think the Chiefs have too much firepower. Mahomes is too good, and Brady has not been sharp. You know, there's going to be so much media hype about Tom Brady. I didn't think he was that sharp against the Saints, and that's why I thought the Packers were going to beat him. So Aaron Rodgers is not going to give the game away like Drew Brees did, but the Packers as a team gave the game away. And if you would have told me beforehand that Tom Brady would throw 3 picks in the second half, I probably would have tripled my bet on the Packers, you know, and still lost. So I don't think Brady has been that good, and Mahomes is the guy I want to bet on. But I'm probably going to bet the Chiefs at -150 or so when that money line price drops.
All right, good game plan. What did you think? We couldn't talk to you last week. What are your observations on the March Madness schedule, putting the whole thing in the Indianapolis area, and how they tinkered with the schedule a little bit?
Well, I like it. It looks like it's going to work with the COVID situations. You never know, but I think the schedule looks like it's it should be able to go off without a hitch. If you can kind of keep the teams in a bubble, and I think the NCAA is doing the right thing. I mean, let's just have March Madness. I'm still sick that we didn't have it last year, and I think this tournament, the way it's set up in Indiana, should be okay. I mean, we just need games on TV. I don't care how they do it. Just get it set up and get it rolling, and I think it's going to work. I know Mitch said he took a future on Florida State. When you look at it, you say, do the teams in the Big Ten area maybe have a little bit of an advantage by playing the entire tournament in the Midwest? I mean, you could look at that. I like the fact that Michigan, you know, I have a future on Michigan, and that the entire tournament's going to be played in Indiana. I kind of like that. I think that helps the Wolverines a little bit, but it's probably not a huge advantage. By the way, when you watch college hoops over the past couple weeks, I think some teams have emerged that you could take a shot on the futures board. Teams like Florida State that Mitch has, I think Alabama has certainly improved, even though I haven't bet Bama on the futures board. Virginia is looking better and better all the time, and you know, that's what you expect with Tony Bennett. I thought last night Texas Tech and West Virginia played an extremely high-level game. Those two teams are going to be a tough out for anybody, so there are some teams really starting to emerge. Don't think that you can just pencil in Gonzaga and Baylor into the Final Four automatically, because I don't think it's going to be that easy.
No, I would totally agree with that. By the way, I think you got a good number on Michigan, too. I think, around 30-1?
That's right.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, Matt, if Virginia, and they can do this now, if they're hitting their threes like last night, my God, are they going to be dangerous.
Yep. Hauser hit like 5 threes right away. Virginia shoots the ball well. I tell you, teams like Virginia, Texas Tech, West Virginia, those teams would give Gonzaga and Baylor all kinds of trouble.
Yep, completely agree. Okay, so what do you have tonight then in college basketball in terms of just single games on the board?
Yeah, it's a pretty good board, but I'll be honest, the past few weeks I've been in a college hoop slump. I have not been winning at the same type of rates, so I've been a little bit conservative with my plays. So I got a couple I'm going to play tonight, and one is Pittsburgh +3.5 against North Carolina. And Pitt's been a much better team since Justin Champagne came back. He's a 6'6 forward. He had a knee injury. He was out for about a month. In the three games since he's returned, he's averaged 24 points. And Pitt's been pretty tough at home. Last two home games, beat Syracuse by 20, beat Duke by 6. And you look at the Tar Heels, I still think the inconsistent point guard play is a problem. North Carolina's 1-3 on the road in the ACC play with a 2-point win at Miami, and I like Pitt as a dog here. I think this would be more like a pick'em game, catching 3.5 with a Pitt team that's playing a lot better since Champagne came back. Also, this is a COVID quirk in the schedule. I'm going to play Dayton +10. The last time I was on with you guys, I gave out a horrible play on Dayton -10 against Fordham, and they had three players ruled out the day of the game, and it was just a cluster. And the Flyers lost by a point. I'm going to try Dayton +10 here against St. Louis. And the reason is the Billikens have not played a game since December 23rd when they beat the Missouri-Kansas City Kangaroos. So they've had over a month off without a game. Dayton's really only laid 2 eggs the entire season. They're close to full strength, still missing one key guy. I think Dayton +10 should be a decent play considering St. Louis has been off for over a month.
All the money, Paulie and Mitch Veasan, the Sports Betting Network. Matt Heumann's our guest, working on Point Spread Weekly right now. Pick that up every single week. The golf has been good. I mean, there's been some big, you know, Na was a big price. There have been some other guys, Harris English. Then Kim beats Cantley, shoots a 61 on Sunday and almost won. And then Kim finishes, I think, 23 under. What are you looking at for the Farmers Insurance Open?
You know, golf has been great since last summer. You know, when we were doing shows during the pandemic, golf and UFC have been two of the best betting sports since last summer. Farmers Insurance Open at Torrey Pines, by the way, note on this, I went to this last year on Saturday and Sunday, and the Sunday I was out walking the course is when we got the news that Kobe Bryant died in a helicopter crash. That was 1 year ago today, right?
Yeah,
January 26th.
Yep.
Yeah. So that was an eerie day out there, and Tiger actually played well. He was in the top 10 on that final Sunday at Torrey Pines north of San Diego. And this week, this course plays as the longest on the PGA Tour at over 7,700 yards. But that doesn't mean you can just look for bombers and they have a big edge, because weather is going to be a factor, as we've seen this week with Mitch Moss digging out of a snowdrift to get his car out of his driveway and able to get to work. You know, we've had a lot of weather on the West Coast. It's going to continue this week. So you're going to have rain and wind the first couple days at Torrey Pines. You want to look at guys who play well in adverse weather. Mark Leishman's actually one of those guys. Got a remarkable track record at this course. He won last year by one stroke over John Rahm. I'm not going to bet Leishman here. I don't typically like to bet guys to win the tournament back-to-back years, but if you wanted to look at him at a decent price, I wouldn't argue with it. One guy I am going to bet was in the top 10 last year, and that's Tony Finau. And obviously, he's only won once in his career, but man, this guy's just pounding on the door. He's so close to getting a win. He's playing so well right now, and he's got a great track record here, too. Finau has been at Torrey Pines six times. He's finished in the top 25 all six times, three times in the top six. And last year, he tied for sixth. He was five strokes behind Leishman on that final day at Torrey. So Finau's at 20-1. I think you find the best golf futures prices either at Circus Sports or at the Westgate, and that's where I got these prices. Mm-hmm. Adam Scott, 2 years ago, finished second, 19-under on this course. He's at 40-1. Billy Horschel at 60-1. He was in the top 10 here 2 years ago. Harry Higgs is a guy I'm going to throw out there as a long shot. He tied with Tiger last year in the top 10. He finished second in the Safeway Open last year. He plays well on the California courses. He's a 180-1. And I know you guys are going to have Jeff Seeley on, and Jeff's going to have a lot of long shots in this tournament, because I went through the field and I found about 10 or 12 guys at really good prices I felt like you could play this week. But obviously, you don't want to bet that many guys. So I'm going to stick with Finau, Scott, Horschel, and Higgs. And I have one matchup play. That's going to be John Rahm minus 125 over Rory McIlroy. And the key to this is McIlroy just played in Abu Dhabi.
Yep.
He played well last week. He tied for third, and he's got a great track record at Torrey Pines as well. But that's a long trip over from Abu Dhabi, and he's probably going to take a little while to get adjusted. And John Rahm has got excellent form on this course. Rahm won at Torrey in 2017. Since then, he's got a tie for fifth. Last year's second place performance. So I think minus 125 over Rory, who's got to make such a long trip to get to San Diego, is a good matchup bet.
Yep, good breakdown. Follow him on Twitter at MattHumans247. Matt, good luck this week. Thanks for the time as always.
Hey, you bet. Thanks.
Great job. Jeff will be on tomorrow. Five winners since the restart. He also will be on Adam Scott, a little tease, and he's got some bombers out there, too, he'll give out tomorrow. Looking forward to that.
Yeah, Jeff Seeley. Jeff Davis Circa is going to be on the show tomorrow as well. He's great on hockey and golf.
Loving this Montreal team.
Ooh. How can you not?
Found 275 to win the division.
I saw that, too. That's a good number. Let's follow the money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. I want to run some original and creative Super Bowl prop ideas by you coming up next.